In this episode, I interview someone who's been in the coaching industry possibly longer than anyone else, Ed J.C. Smith. In some ways, this is a bit of an expose of the coaching industry and how to spot a scam coach. We talk about narcissists in quite a lot of detail. There seems to be a few of them in the coaching industry. And if Andrew Tate has been a positive influence on men. We've also started the brand new Disruptors round, and Ed is one of the first to be asked the Disruptors questions. So let's go deep and long and hard into the coaching industry.
Ed, how do you turn what you know or what you already know into cash flow?
Great question. Lots of layers, but specifically, I think today, in today's world, everyone has info. And I think sometimes people don't realize that they have access to information that people will buy.
Do you mean they already know something within them? They already have a skill that they could turn into an information business?
Yeah, I think that's the first step, right? So like everyone has info, and that's the currency that's the largest, you know, growing market in the world today, right? Information exchange. So, you know, I'll take you through a process. I'll answer your question specifically. How do you do that?
Yeah, please
the first step is, you know, to know that, you know, if you have gone through an experience, if you've gone through some dark times, if you know how to play the piano, if you know how to have an orgasm, if you know how to...
I'll buy that one.
Then I just want you to know that people are
there.
If
you've come off coffee.
I'm sure there is. Well, there's obviously addiction. There's addiction programs, etc. And so it's knowing that, you know, that someone would pay to speed up their process to get an outcome. So the first step is, because I think...
But a lot of people don't believe that they have information inside them that other people want. Why would anyone want to listen to me? I hear that all the time.
And so that would be going into the vehicle of how do you do it first. And so again, it's like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be this perfect representation. I would say the thing that you need to be is passionate. If you're super passionate about a particular thing, there are people willing to learn that thing. There's millions of people
it.
And pay you for it.
Yeah.
And then so the second step of that, how do you do that? In my view, if you are someone that wants to be a coach, consultant, mentor, the quickest way to do that is if you start with a one-to-one coaching program of some sort so that you can, you know, in today's market, people think what's valuable is video modules or an online program, but the truth is actually your own internal information processes are the most valuable. So if you're starting with zero cash in the bank, right, you need to be able to do one-to-one first, right? The most valuable because people want personalized support and you're gonna coach them and help them to get to a specific outcome. And you know that would be the fastest way to get going to validate whether you are actually good at teaching someone how to do the thing that you can do. And that's a $1 trillion industry, so $1 billion at least.
Well, billion and trillion is slightly different.
But let's go with what's above trillion then.
A gazillion.
$1 gazillion industry.
I'm very proud to say this episode is sponsored by AG1. As you know, we're more than 1,000 episodes into Disruptors and I very rarely have sponsors. I'm really choosy on sponsors and I only pick people that I love myself and I use myself. I have turned down loads of sponsors, but personally, I've been using AG1 for nearly 14 years myself before we ever did a sponsorship deal with them. For me, AG1 really helps with my mental focus, clarity and overall well-being. As someone who's really freaking busy and can't always sit down and eat a million vegetables in a day, knocking back a big pint full of AG1 in the morning is perfect for me. Of course, health is wealth, and I'm in my mid-40s, I'm realizing that more and more. So if you'd like to try AG1 yourself with a special exclusive offer that I have for you right now, go to drinkag1.com/disruptors. That's drinkag1.com/disruptors and get a free year supply of vitamin D3, K2 and 5 travel packs with your first purchase on me. So one more time, that's drinkag1.com/disruptors. AG1, thanks for sponsoring the show. You are legends.
But one-to-one's not scalable, is it?
For sure, it isn't. But it's, again, it's, you know, realistic in today's world, right? If you want to add 100 grand into a business, that's the quickest way to start there, in my view.
What sort of fees then can someone charge one-to-one starting from scratch?
Depending again on niche, but on average, we'd start our clients at $1,500 for a three-month program. That's one session a week.
Right.
So very reasonable, yeah. I think, for personalized time.
And actually, for someone who hasn't got any money, that's a good start to... Yeah. You need two of them and you're $3,000 a month, which for a lot of people is a...
And you know, through that process, what I recommend is actually not to create an online course first, is actually create your online course with your clients. So therefore, get some one-to-one.
Because I never thought of it this way around. I'd have always built at-scale courses first. But you've just given me a bit of a breakthrough. Because number one, yes, you can use your clients to create the content, but also coaching your clients gets you all the objections and the difficulties that you can then record into your online version.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like, you're very good at your content. You've done it for many years. You know the objections that people are having to, and it's not just the objections to buying. When you hear that word objections, people go, objections to
objections on themselves,
for sure,
why they wouldn't be able to 100%. Do it.
Yeah. So it's objections as they're going through the content that you need to answer so that they actually complete the content, they finish it, and they actually get to the end of it. And so it's a much easier process to manage that and, you know, to create that whilst you're doing it one-to-one, you know, and then you don't have this massive stagnant period where a lot of people do. They're trying to create an online course on their own, which is like, you know, doing slides, recording into, you know, creating a slide deck and recording modules on your own. Is there's no feedback versus doing it with a client who's saying, like, you know, and you keep on going, like, well, what's the problem with you getting from here to here? What's the problem from you getting here to here? And so you have a, you know, an online course that takes them with a very specific journey from A to B, wherever that may be. So it's like, you know, to learn a, you know, learning the piano, for example, you know, you can pay, I paid a guy $1,500 to get specific piano lessons, a specific technique, and had specific sort of training on top of it. You know, it doesn't matter what it is that you want to learn. There's someone out there who is willing to teach you how to do it.
Do you think people are distracted and overwhelmed right now in the world generally?
I mean, yeah, I think overwhelm is like the massive, massive problem, because again, like, there's so
like
much...
the biggest at stopping people from...
I mean, from my perspective, yeah, because they're, you know, like, I did a live session last night with our expert coach community. So these are people that learn, they want to become a coach. So we certify them to become a coach. And one of the biggest things they continue to say is that they're overwhelmed. They're procrastinating, but they're not clear on what it is that they need to do. And again, look, there's loads of different variations. You know, as a whole, they want to get clients so that they think they have to be on every social media channel. They think they have to be doing all of these things.
Autoresponders, landing pages, sales pages, CRMs, all of this stuff.
But it's more like they
That's
have to be on...
procrastination often though, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah. They think they have to be on TikTok, YouTube, and... Again, like, I'm not slating down all of these platforms, but they, you know, like, you know, from my, again, I'll continue to say from my perspective, because...
You don't have to say anymore.
Okay.
I'm not interviewing Dave. I'm not asking for Dave's perspective. But,
you know, like, they just can't, you know, like, if you're not at 100K months yet, right, you can't hire other people to do it for you yet, so you can't outsource yet, so therefore you have to have...
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. Contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
Uh, a focus on less versus more. You know, one of my favorite books is John,
do you mean Rob Moore? One of your favorite books by Rob Moore.
Do less, act more. Which one is it?
Start now, get perfect
that's
later.
That's the one. I like that. That's a good one.
That would be good for a lot of people trying to
get
the information business.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you mean John Maxwell?
No, I mean John Wooden. Sorry.
Okay.
And he had a book about the issues that he was going through. Don't be like that.
Excuse me.
Stop it. None of that. Okay. But he was going through the same sort of situation. Everyone was trying to do. she just gets a little bit protective.
Protective. Like over here.
But now she's not so safe, so she won't. But he basically went through the same situation in the basketball industry. Everyone was doing loads of offensive plays, defensive offense, and all of this stuff, loads of strategies. And he was one of the first to do the power one. So he did one offensive play, one defensive play. And because of that, the players were less overwhelmed. Within each play, they only had one element to focus on. So they went from trying to do loads of different strategies to just focusing on one specific offensive play, one specific defensive play. And because of that, he ended up taking, you know, the UCL basketball team to 28 victories over a 30-year period. And so I've always liked the concept of less is more, right? And so therefore, if you focus on just one specific channel that works specifically for you, what we specialize in is run one ad into one piece of content that isn't a webinar. So it's just a simple PDF download so that you can get your clients downloading and then into a list where you can start nurturing them into a sale. And that's it. So it's a really simplified approach. I think a lot of people fail in the industry, in the information space specifically, because they're just trying to do too much. They don't have a specific plan to hit a 10K month. What you do for a 10K month is very different to a 100K month. It's very different if you're trying to do 400K months or a million a month. And it's like, for example, you know, people trying to run a marathon, if they haven't got a 5-hour plan, they need a 5-hour plan if you haven't done one before, then the 4-hour plan, the 3-hour plan, and if you ever get there, a 2-hour plan, right? But you can't go straight in on a 2-hour plan. And I respect a lot of massive information-based, like Gary Vaynerchuk, obviously is a great entrepreneur, but Gary has 1,700 staff and he has a, you know, billion-dollar agency. What Gary's...
Yeah, doesn't he say you got to do...
86 pieces of content. His famous piece of content is 86 pieces of content per day.
So let me just say that again. So Gary Vaynerchuk says you have to do 86 pieces of content a day.
Yeah, and be on every social media channel.
What do you think about that?
I mean, that's bullshit. It's taken out of context. You can't.
Because he has 1,700 staff that can cut all of his content into 84, 86, 89 pieces.
You can do that if you have a huge team, for sure, no doubt. But you can't take that.
So why has Gary Vaynerchuk got that one wrong then? Because surely not everyone, not anyone when he's on the stage has got the staff he has. And surely he's just talking to people who are starting out.
Well, I don't think people like Gary, there's a big difference to getting someone who specializes in actually helping you get the exact outcome versus just generalized information. And of course, Gary has loads of stuff that's very beneficial. I'm not hanging down on Gary. I think he's an incredible entrepreneur. He's very successful. But everyone has an agenda. His agenda is to drive more people to use social media. He owns a lot of shares within those platforms. And it makes sense that, you know, he's never going to get that granular information. He's never sat with 100 different people that all have like coaching consultancy business and want 5 clients a month. And he hasn't had to service them day in, day out, week after week, month after month, and listen to their objections. So his information will land to a level. Would it be actionable to actually get beneficial results? No. And so that, then there's, again, like it's, we live in a world where there's information and then there's what you actually need to get to the next step specifically. Like it's, you know, like it's, you know, everyone, everyone owns software or has a funnel, or you know, they think, oh my god, I've got the software. But it's like a golf club. Everyone knows how to pick up a golf club. Doesn't mean you know how to swing it, and it's how you swing it that enables you to hit the ball to a certain specific point. And so therefore, software, information, you need like a very specific approach today to get the thing that you actually want. Like, you need someone that's walked in your shoes, right? Where we specialize specifically is because I was a one-to-one coach myself. So I know that journey very individually, and I walked that for many years. And so when I started to try and get other, you know, when I started to get more clients on, I noticed I had three core problems: inconsistent lead flow, inconsistent sales, because I was predominantly relying on organic marketing. Because I couldn't get people coming in, I couldn't get more sales coming in, I couldn't scale. So I had to fix that and automate myself out of the things that I couldn't do. So I couldn't do all the things that people were telling me to do. So I just focused on automating lead flow into one piece of content to set up the sale, and I just scaled it from there.
What was the third piece?
So client scaling, right, to be able to consistently have a sales process that is taking more clients on every single month. Mm. You know, and then over the years, of course, that's adapted. I mean, most people today want to, you know, like literally build an audience and then sell a program and do nothing. But, you know, that game.
So you think people have got lazy, do you?
I think it's natural to look at the numbers and you go like, well, if I get X amount of people on my socials and I sell X amount, I make X amount. And it's just not as simple as that. I was on someone's webinar the other day, Erica, I can't remember her surname, but she's got like 10 million on TikTok. She's got 5 million on Instagram, 1.8 on YouTube. And she did, you know, she did a call to action to come to a live webinar. I was like, oh, that'd be interesting to see how many people turn up. So I was there 35 minutes in. I was like, wondering if any more people are going to come. And I was genuinely...
How many were on the webinar?
How many do you reckon? 16 million total followers. Obviously, she has no idea what she's doing in terms of online marketing.
I don't know. Put me out of my misery.
Just guess, though, just out of fun. What would you...
36.
As in 36,000. You would want 36,000, though, right?
Well, I'll get between...
16 million. If you had 16 million and you've never done a call to action to a live webinar...
Yeah, I mean, you should have tens of thousands of people on a webinar. How many were on?
27.
27 people.
27. And I wasn't sure if it was live. So I clicked to go on and she brought me on. I was like, oh my God.
So it was live.
And then she had like no sales. And again, look, I'm not hating down on her. She's fabulous at her content. It's just, again, it's the market where we're at today. You know, and so I collect a lot of this information because it's important to understand what works and what doesn't. You've got like Ariana Grande just released her beauty product and she's getting, you know, 380 million followers and she's getting 19 comments on her post, 35 comments, and then deleting them. And so it's just like, you know, there's nothing wrong. I'm not hating on organics. I was a fan of organics when they worked, but there's no point doing something and not getting paid in return. It's very frustrating when you put a lot of time into something and you're getting no clients back.
So how long have you been in the information business? When did you start?
So I started as a coach in 1996.
Wow, how many years is that then? Do the maths.
I mean, I'm 43, so a while for sure.
You don't like maths, no.
I don't know how long that is, but...
Well,
you know,
it's 27 years, isn't it?
I never realised I was in the information space. So I started in a position because when I was younger, I tried to jump out in front of a train, got pulled back, someone gave me a second chance. And that's how I ended up going through coaching. So I fell in love with the coaching process.
So you became a coach.
I mean, I didn't even really know what it was. Yeah. I mean, I took a coaching certification, as I said, at 16 and started.
At 16 years old?
At 16. My mum said it would be a good idea for me.
Wow. So anyone listening who thinks they can't be a coach, you started being a coach at 16. And tell me you weren't a life coach.
100%.
You fucking were.
100%. And when
you were a life coach.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, my dad would be like, this is a fucking joke. You know, like, you're going to go out and help people with your life and you haven't even had a life. And when I see there are people online, I got tagged in one the other day in a group where they're like, this guy is 17 trying to help people improve their life. You know, what a joke. But, you know, like, I never saw it as a bad thing. Like, I went through a really bad stage. I knew intuitively that I felt so good helping other people that as long as I'm doing that, then I feel good and I don't want to end my life. So that's like, that was a win. Do you know what I mean? So I never started because I wanted to make money. I never started. It was back then, there was nothing. There was no social media. It wasn't like a thing. I started working as a gym because that had a bit more context to it.
Like personal training.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, I took an NLP life coaching course at 16. And, you know, obviously, you know, without social media, just talking to people, there's no one around. So the next transition was to work in a gym. Mm. And then I just started building it up.
And now, what do you think in total revenue you've done in your information business since you started? If you could just...
Total.
Yeah. Work it out. I mean, are we talking more than 100 million? Less? More?
I mean, only in the last years we've really started to scale. So that obviously there's a long period of that where for many years as a coach, I would be doing 60 to 70 to 80,000 maximum.
But when you were quite young.
Yeah.
That's pretty good though.
Yeah, it was banking.
I mean, with inflation now, that's probably two and a half times as much.
And it was, I had very good people around me. A lot of my clients were entrepreneurs, so I started investing early.
I mean, that's good money when you're young. And what's your biggest year then that you've had in revenue or sales?
In terms of sales, I mean, we're at a stage now where we can onboard, you know, between 60 to 70 clients front end a month at a 10K level. And then, you know, that's not including back end, right? That's so I'd say 40% will continue our service at an equivalent same again, right?
So that's 600 to 700 grand on the front end.
Then you've got consultancy on top of that.
So have you ever done £1 million a month?
Yeah.
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 Have you ever done a £10 million? Yeah.
£10 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could work on better profit margin.
Well, thank you for being honest. I just wanted to give people a bit of context.
Yeah, because people hear that and they'll go like, again, it's, you know, we have to spend on ads.
Yeah, of course. I didn't ask you about the profit. I won't, because that's a personal question. Well,
and I know how people think though.
Yeah. And it wasn't a leading question. I wanted to give people context in case they don't know who you are. But it sort of was, because what do you think of all these 19-year-olds on TikTok who are the dating gurus and, you know, getting women gurus? And is the coaching industry kind of full of frauds?
That's a loaded question, isn't it? That's a good question.
It's not loaded. I want your answer.
Yeah.
It's not nachos. It's like, it's loaded. Look,
first of all, loaded.
Don't forget, I'm in the information industry as well. So
first of all, I think these young people going out and doing stuff is great.
Are there fraudsters in the coaching industry?
There's fraudsters everywhere, right?
Are there a particular big cluster of fraudsters in the information industry?
I don't look at it like that. So I think if you're young and you're out there teaching people stuff, that's amazing.
But what if you...
Wait, I haven't got it. Go on.
But what if you've not even got pubes and you're talking about dating?
You know what? Like, that's their personal experience and I...
Oh, so you're game for it?
I am game for that, because I believe... Again, you have to... You know, I don't know the intentions of someone, you know, so
and actually, maybe people their age might get, they might know more than people their age. And
so, you know, there's, I've got to support that, because I think that's an amazing skill to be going out at a young age in today's world where it's so easy to compare to someone else. Mm. It's so easy to worry about what other people are going to say.
So you think fair play to
I
both
think fair
people,
play
then?
To that, right? Okay. Then I've got to add in, you know, with the right intention. If you've got an intention to help people and you genuinely want to serve, right? As I said, I never even had an idea you could make any money. For years, Rob, people would say to me, like, even my clients were like, when are you going to get a proper job? Like, this is not a real job. You know, like, you can't just, you know, my parents for years, they still would be like, what are you doing?
It isn't that what an entrepreneur needs to hear from people around them that aren't, to prove that they're an entrepreneur.
I mean, I didn't even realize I was an entrepreneur. I just thought but I couldn't.
Do you know, like, 70 grand in today's money, you know, you're talking probably 150, 200 grand.
It was great. It's cash. It was solid cash-based business. Yeah. And
Those days. Can we have those days back?
But again, like, I didn't have any reference, and so therefore I didn't know any different.
Okay, so let's go back to the coaching industry.
But let's go back to these kids, right? So I think
let's go back to the coaching industry.
Coaching industry.
Yeah. Are there a lot of people that think it's an easy buck to set up in the information coaching business, and they haven't really walked the walk? Because, you know, there's this saying: those that can do, and those that can't teach. Certainly, right in the school system, maybe, but. Yeah, what do you think about that?
I feel like I haven't got these kids yet. So these kids, they go out, they teach, right? As long as they're doing the right thing, and then they're using that to become a better deliverer. That, you know, they're willing to improve their service. They're willing to, you know, upgrade. Like, I started very early on, and I knew I didn't have a lot of self confidence, and I was, you know, like, hanging in on there. And I remember once I'd had this really bad feedback. I had a couple of people having a go at me, and I was on the edge of, like, going, like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And, you know, one of my clients at the time, I said, look, I don't think I'm any good. And he was like, you've got to keep going. This is what you've done. You've helped me so much, and I feel so much better for it. You've changed my life, and you've genuinely transformed who I am. And I can't thank you. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is worth it. So, you know, like, I've invested a lot. I've invested 533,000 in different NLP, CBT, different sorts of certificational programs over a period of time. So I think if you're willing to do the work and reinvest into your business, so you become a better valuable asset, then that's totally cool. And that's the biggest part of, like, why I give away my certification completely for free, so that people can become super authentic and have a training framework so that they continue to become better. We used to charge 5 grand for it. We still charge 5 grand for it. But if you go and check out on our site, and we just decided, you know what, this year I want to do something special. Coaching saved my life. I want other people to have that skill. And whether they're doing it for themselves or whether they're doing it for other people, if you are part of an environment where people are supporting you to understand your emotions, understand triggers, understand behavior, understand your thinking affects your actions affect your results. I just think it can be done for a very, very good thing. Can it be manipulative? Can there be a lot of people trying to, you know, sell you stuff that doesn't really work? For sure. In any industry, there's going to be that. And, you know, my view, there's a lot of people that don't have the actual data to prove what works. And they're going out teaching stuff. And it's no fault of their own, but they've been brainwashed by the actual, you know, the platform, like TikTok as a platform. If you know, the majority think if they just get more views and more followers that they'll end up with more clients. And we've got millions of views and get, like, zero clients from it, because, in my view, the algorithm is purely for views and not to actually re-nurture people into buying your stuff. And it's TikTok have their, you know, their focus, and that's, they give people views and followers, and that's all they care about. They don't care whether you make any money from it. Like, it's a balance. You've got to do what you want to do. You've got to love what you do, and you're going to get good at what you do, and you've got to get paid. Otherwise,
it's a hobby. Otherwise, it's a hobby.
Exactly.
So how do you spot a scam coach?
I think you look at, have they done the thing that they're teaching you to do, right? So if it's like, you, in today's market, you can't be a personal trainer teaching someone how to lose weight if you don't look after your own weight yourself. You can be in the journey, right? You could be like, you could be 20 stone and you've lost 15, 5, 6, 7 stone. That's fine. Like, you're fully in that process. You're going to attract other people that are 20 stone and want to lose that. That's totally cool. But again, it's just an authentic, you can't, I can't help you run an ad if I've never run an ad. You see a lot of people that are marketers that want to help you get clients and they've never had a business. So they only have a business helping you have a business. Mm. And so we've had, you know, I started in the depression niche, one-to-one, went into relationships, went into business consultancy, grew a successful mindset offer, which is our coaching offer. So our expert coach certification program is my original offer, which now I give away completely for free. So people can't be like, you're all about the money. Not at all. Like you can certify with us and get supported for life for free.
Why are you giving all that away for free?
Because we're at a very good stage in business. You know, it's genuinely something that has changed my life, and something that I'm very passionate about. I wanted to remove the barriers so that there wasn't any money issue. And it does also, you know, like I'm not going to say it doesn't, because it does, it works really well for people that want to work with us. So, you know, not everyone does, but a percentage will continue with us because it makes sense, because we've given them so much.
Can you share that? Can you give that?
No.
Yeah, so, get the fuck out.
So, yeah, I mean, it normally does retail at 5K. It's not some bullshit, like, marketing thing. We get people day in, day out that have bought it from our site. So if they go to www.freeexpertcoach.com, they can have a full certification with us, which is two governing boards, which is the Authority of Professional Coaching and Mentoring, plus the CPD service as well. And they get a full certification with us. They get access to that for life.
Free Expert Coach.
www.freeexpertcoach.com.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So this show is called Disruptors. Probably the most disruptive person in the information space in the last decade is Andrew Tate, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you think Andrew Tate is overall good for society?
Yes, I do. I genuinely think that, you know, a lot of people that hate down on his content probably haven't watched a lot of his content. So, as you know, he did very well. He can trigger people into sharing his content left, right, and center. And I think the majority of what he says makes a lot of sense. And, you know, there's certain components that you could open up and say, look, what's your view here? But I think in today's market, like, it's so difficult to know who someone is anyway based on short form content. And so if you're going to sit there and judge someone and say that they're an asshole because you saw 10 seconds of content, that's 10 seconds of what someone says, right? So you have to, you know, like, judge less and be more open if you want to truly understand something that's different to you. I think there was one of the most viral clips that I saw last year. I'm always collecting like viral clips to see what works, and it was the spy clip. I don't know if you've seen it, and it's the interview with Joe Rogan talking about and the guy's he's a spy technical person, and he says, "What's the number one spy tip?" And purely what it is just to see life from someone else's perspective. You know, it's a simple, imagine that you're in someone else's shoes. And I think, unfortunately, social media, like, the young are too triggered. They are not aware that there's like multiple views to certain situations. So whenever anyone says something that's so triggering, I'm always like, that's fascinating, because they're going to get attention. And I love seeing their comments, because I'm writing a new book called Untriggerable at the moment, and it's all about like the hate that we get down on our social media and how to react off the back of it, and the stories that unfold, because I like open it up and then engage a conversation off the back of it. So I think he's been very beneficial, right, as a whole, because it's a different viewpoint, and I think he's probably helped a lot of guys that have felt, you know, not capable of going out there and doing stuff. Mm. So he's obviously pissed off a lot of people.
So is Andrew Tate a marketing genius or a misogynist?
100% marketing genius. I mean, it's pure, like, he knows exactly, and he doesn't care. And that's very bold. Like, I think I would be concerned with, like, it's certain things. I'm a caring individual. I'm kind. I'm soft-natured, right? You know, I can try to pretend like some bravado here and there, but that's not who I am. I'm a gentle, caring individual. I'm into my emotions. I'm actively, you know, I listen and, you know, really take time. I'm a trained therapist, you know, so it's like I think anyone that's willing to put themselves out at that level, I don't believe he's done those things, because I mean, unless he's really stupid, because he's got so much exposure, and it's crazy level of exposure. So you would have thought you don't want to go out and do that if you've got that in your in your cupboard. But
so you've gone quite viral for this like dark personality content. So I have a question for you. How do you hurt a narcissist?
we got like 7 million views on our narcissism content. How do you hurt a narcissist? I mean, naturally I'm going into why would you want to hurt a narcissist before I'm going to answer, you know, like, because hurt people hurt people.
Well, then that's why people want to hurt a narcissist.
And love that. So, you know, like, if you're so, like,
do you know we've tested all the narcissist titles?
Yeah.
And that's the most...
Is that the one we're using?
We could actually open up that discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've tested lots of narcissist content and lots of titles. Yeah. How do you beat a narcissist? you know, how do you get rid of a narcissist? How do you block a narcissist? But the one that people go the most viral for is... how do you hurt a narcissist? Mm. So clearly, narcissists are hurting people, and clearly, like you said, hurt people, and they're wanting to hurt them back.
Which means that they're equal and have opposite reaction to them, which is, you know, if you're constantly saying that someone else is a narcissist, you have to look at where that's coming from. And, you know, as Carl Jung says, perception is projection. What you see in others is a direct reflection of yourself.
So you're saying that people out there who are accusing others of being a narcissist may need to look in the mirror, because they may be one.
For sure.
Yeah.
We all have narcissistic traits, and there's...
Yeah, I've thought that about you for a long time.
And there's degrees of... It's also like, what is actual narcissism?
Yeah.
Because it's like, there's, you know, self-focused and, you know, that like having personal attention to yourself versus he's actual narcissistic, you know, properly... qualified behavior, which is part of the dark triad, you know, Machiavellian psychopathy and narcissism. And I think today's world is so easy to judge someone and say that's narcissistic behavior, when actually
it might just be driven behavior or focused behavior.
Yeah, and it's just like too many people are too quick to label stuff.
Yeah.
And then the label, then you can't see outside of that label. And like, again, like, my personal belief on relationships is that any relationship can be solvable, any problems can be achievable to get over if they want to. And, you know, like...
Even someone who's got so much childhood trauma that they are literally manipulating people, because there are people out there who they are manipulating people. And to unlearn that intense, fatherless, for example, childhood trauma... They ain't just doing it off some online course from a 17-year-old.
No, for sure. And so they need to sit down and do the work, right? And so, but it's, you know, like, if that person stops blaming that other person and does the work on themselves so that they're not triggered by the other behavior, they can get to the stage where that person can also want to do the work. But if they're not willing to do the work, both parties, then of course there's no point in continuing together.
So you're saying anyone who has the desire to hurt a narcissist should maybe first look at themselves and how to handle their emotions around the narcissism, like the saying, "Be the change you want to see."
So don't.
And you think that's a better way of handling it?
Much better. Like, it's not about how do you make someone else feel pain. Because you're just the same
not
level.
Narcissistic.
100%. Yeah. You're just the same as that person. You want to be able to love that person and be able to go, look, I did the best I could. 100% I gave to that relationship. And for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. And you got to, if you sit in your relationship, I was a relationship therapist for 9 years. And say, you know, do you want to make this relationship better together? Do you want to work at it together? Do you want to love together and continue to love each other? Because if you're not willing to do it together and you just want to blame each other, then it's never going to work. And so you have to let go of blame, and both parties have to take 100% responsibility for the relationship, not their part of the relationship. That doesn't work either. So I want to take responsibility for my part. No, you have to take 100% responsibility for everything. And if you take that game, if you pretend everything is your fault and you take 100% responsibility, there's no one, it completely kills the problem, because it's like tennis, right? If me and you are, it's your problem and you're like, okay, it's your problem and you're batting it forward and back, it's not my problem, it's your problem. But as soon as I say that is my problem, we're no longer playing tennis. I want to work on this, and how can I be better for you? How can I help you? How can I understand? How would you like me to be for you? And again, you have to, you're doing that with no intention of reciprocation. You're doing it because you're a giver. And then you have to have a boundary in place to a point where, you have given to that minimum 90 days. Minimum 90 days. So you have to say, hand on my heart, I gave to that person 100% responsibility for 90 days and nothing happened. Well, that's okay. Then you can move on and find someone else to give to. But if you start every relationship, how can I give to them versus what can I get from them? Which is what most people without, how can I get from them? What can I get? And, versus who's the person I want to just give? I want to love, I want to be there for them. Anything they want, anything they tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And it feels, that sounds subservient and it sounds weak, but it's not weak, because only someone that's truly comfortable within themselves and has total emotional intelligence can actually truly do that, can be completely subservient to someone else.
So that was great. There's a buck coming. No. That was great, full stop. And comma. Sometimes though, someone is a narcissist. They just are. A fire needs oxygen to burn. It's the best way to get rid of a narcissist. Silence. And just complete starve them of oxygen. Like someone who really is one. And you just had the revelation, holy shit, I've done my 90 days.
Yeah.
I've looked inside myself and this person is a narcissist. Is it like a cancer? You've just got to cut it out. You got to block, you got to silence.
Yeah, you've got to rise above any sort of manipulation from there. So therefore, any sort of hoovering is a common thing.
What does hoovering mean?
Hoover you back in with different sorts of
full on Dyson.
So, you've got to look at
hoovering.
You've got to notice the certain patterns within your behaviours, and
there you go.
There's another one in there.
It's one I brought in earlier.
You've got to notice. It all comes to awareness and being aware of the patterns that you're getting brought into. And again,
this one's getting jealous. Look,
everyone's individual, so. At different stages of my relationship career, if you're aware of what the pattern is, and so for example, whether it's male or female, it doesn't actually matter, but sometimes people label it as a female pattern. It's not the push away, right? We're having an argument, push away.
Yeah.
Right. And, what I would do is take clients through a process by which we've acknowledged what the pattern is, and we acknowledge a new way of dealing with the pattern. And if we're both in agreement of this new way of dealing with the trigger, and then the pattern occurs, if we're both in agreement of how we're gonna retrain that pattern, we just need to keep with the training process. If we keep with the training process, it will resolve and dissolve the trigger. If we don't, the pattern continues. And so it is a question of, do you want to retrain the pattern or not? And it can be as simple as that. And if that's a no, well then that's a no. It's like, do you want to have kids? Yes or no? do you want to move here or there? No. So it's, you know, if there's are too many no's, then you have to have a clear boundary of, you need some yeses to stay in the relationship. Mm. And if it's just a whole list of no's, then that's not the right person for you. And so therefore you make a amicable decision to part based on you're not willing to breach any of those. So it's like, it's an easy decision.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I told you I came up with a new round.
Yeah, nice.
So you're the first person ever in over 1,000 episodes, we're going to do the new round. Because what I've thought over time on the show, this used to be called Disruptive Entrepreneur. Then it became Disruptors. And sometimes I think it sort of moved a bit away from either business stroke entrepreneurship, which is my initial reason for setting up the show. And that's fine because some of the guests have been great. The best guests have not necessarily been entrepreneurs. And also we have this concept of disruptors. And whilst I choose disruptive people, like you're disruptive in the information business, I don't really make a big point of it until now. So we're going to do the disruptive round.
Quiz.
You look excited there. It's only 3 questions. Oh. You don't get a prize at the end. Because there's no answer is the right answer. It's your answer,
nice.
Which would be an Ed answer.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the most disruptive thing you've done either in business or in your life?
I was testing out different viral media campaigns and it was, again, like people sometimes label me online as hating organics. I don't hate organics, but if they don't give you in return the time and they don't generate clients, there's no point to it. And so Facebook was very viral for us. So I was testing different sorts of viral campaigns. We were getting massive amounts of leads/views. And then I was doing like some prank videos and I asked a lady on the road, like, would she hold my hand? And I'd recorded it all and they were getting really good views. And then, she didn't like one of the videos. We'd used her in the thumbnail and it got like 5 million views. And so we ended up in court and she claimed like I was sexual assault on her.
For holding her hand?
I didn't hold her hand. She claimed I grabbed her in the street and that I held onto her for 3 minutes. And so obviously that charge was dropped. But I ended up, taking community service because...
How did you take community service if the charge was dropped?
The sexual assault was dropped because there was... I didn't hold her. It was all recorded.
Yeah.
But they still couldn't come to an agreement to whether my hand had touched her. And when you say you can get community service, if you don't want me to touch you and my hand has glided past, then you can take me to court and accuse me of touching you indecently. So yeah, that was...
You did community service for that?
50 hours and a 5 grand fine. For one video.
Did it go viral?
obviously not. It went viral before, right. And then obviously I got the court case afterwards, okay. Yeah.
So was it worth it?
Definitely not.
No.
It was a very interesting lesson though. The lesson was in the court of law, they don't care what you've done prior or this or that, the content, they just wanted to know the exact facts. And because there was a part of the video where they could not 100% see where my hand was, then they sided with her and that was it. There's nothing you can say, even though she said 3 minutes and you can clearly see it was 7 seconds. That whole thing, she just walks past. I go, can I hold your hand? And then I met her husband who was at the court case. I met him like 2 years later and he goes to my gym now. And he goes, so we're friends now. And I was like, I went up to him. And I was like, look, I'm really sorry. You know, that's never my intention. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. You know, like it just, you know, sometimes people get caught in their story. And she turned up. She was so scared. She had like a whole thing, mask. And, you know, like she was sectioned off in the court because she was so scared, apparently. And I was like, nothing happened. I just interviewed her on the road. But it taught me, to be very, very, like, more conscious. I was definitely doing a lot of different content there that was not as conscious.
Mm.
And it was just purely for what was popular. And so it was irrelevant to what we do. And, I, you know, although in my view, like, you know, I'm doing 50 hours of community service with people that had robbed a house. Do you know what I mean? Like, and what did you do? Wouldn't you want to know? Bad, real bad. I mean, like, you know, it was ridiculous, but it is what it is, isn't it? And you have to accept it, and it makes you into a better person.
Mm.
And I was happy to take that.
Yeah.
I learned a lot that day.
All right.
I'd say that's, yeah, so I'm a criminal, you know, convict.
Shit. Okay, so disruptors round number two. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken?
When you used to run live events, we'd spend sometimes $100,000 on ads to fill a room without knowing whether even the event would work. But I was, you know, I'm not starting straight at $100,000. I would obviously build it up so that we were spending, you know, $10,000, I think is the first time we ever spent on Facebook ads. And that was coming off what we used to buy email list and email data. And then when ads started becoming much more popular, we started buying ads and we'd fill in our room and you just assess. So it was, I saw very early on, you know, when we shifted from buying email data to buying ads, I think we would have paid like 20,000 or 30,000 for email data, legal, all proper, but you have no idea who these people are. You have no idea if they're real or not. You just have to assume, right? And so I think we did like $10,000 in ads when we first went, and we got, you know, 800 people in the room from like 30 to 40 previously. So it was like, wow, this works. So we were lucky in that respect because we had a direct feedback from spending on ads to getting people actually turning up. So, you know, I think today people see ads and they're like, oh yeah, it can't work. And they don't have the metric by which you can actually see the result. I get it, when people put stuff out, content, and it goes viral and they get all this engagement, they go, oh, that must be amazing for my business. But engagement obviously doesn't directly link to getting clients into your business.
Mm.
So you need to have that feedback to see it working. Without it, I get it. I see why people don't really go down that route.
Yeah. All right. And then the final disruptors round. What's your most brutal business lesson?
The one that I've... As in, like, I had to take myself or a brutal lesson to give to someone else.
Yeah, one that you've had that was humbling in business.
Hard. In my earlier days, I lost a lot of money investing into other businesses that I didn't really know. And I was very bravado about it. I didn't know my numbers. I bought a salon in a gym that I was, you know, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I just assumed it would be fine. And, you know, stuck in a 5-year lease, making no money, having no way to get clients in, and realized every single year it just wouldn't get any better. And you're constantly paying out. And that was a very, very humbling lesson early on, to be good on your numbers. And, you know, it's not rocket science stuff. You don't have to be really intelligent. You just have to be willing to work out like the specifics. Like, you know, if you want, like going back to the original, if you want an information business, as a consultant, if you speak to more people, you'll make more money in today's market. So you're doing consultation sales. So if you did 20 calls a month, right, and you're doing you're closing 4 calls at 2,500, you'll be banking $10,000. So would it be worth spending £300, $300 to get more booked calls so you can take more calls so you can make more money? Yeah. And so therefore it's understanding. I think I've done a lot of self-development. I think self-development is great. I think it's very valuable, but unless you get specific on the granular information that you need for a business, it's never going to work today. So, you know, if you've got 1 million followers, you have to understand buying metrics. So for example, on average, you know, 1 million followers can equate to say 1% engagement. So that's 10,000, right? Say out of that 10,000, 35% are potentially going to opt in. So that's 3,500. At that 3,500, if you get another 10%, right, that's, you know, you end up with like 35 potential people that could opt in, depending again on your engagement rates, right? So it's like understanding your numbers. There's nothing, I think a lot of people have no idea, like they're expecting, oh, just because I have a million followers, or if I go down that route, then I can make X. And if that never happens, then you've got to shift into something that's quicker. And that, as I said, like there's so many ways of which it can be very fast today.
Be ready for the quick fire round.
Yeah.
Right. So these questions are designed to be answered in a punchy, impactful way.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Drag it out.
I mean, I didn't say this on the show, but obviously we've been friends for loads of years. So I don't normally brief up my guests. 15 seconds.
15?
It's about the ideal.
Shit. Okay, let's go.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah. Also, I've got meetings that have been pushed back.
Sorry, you know. My bad.
No. 1 million cash on the table now, or 1 million engaged, non-bought social media followers, which one would you take and why?
1 million now.
Cash?
Yeah.
Not the engaged social media followers?
No.
You don't think you could turn 1 million followers into 1 million in cash?
No, I'd spend a million on ads and I'd make a shitload more.
Spend a million on ads. Good question. Good answer. Does money make you happy?
No.
How much would make you happy?
None. Like, there's not a figure of amount of money.
So if I gave you £1 billion, you wouldn't be happy?
In that moment, for sure, of course. But every moment has an equal opposite paradox. So therefore, if I'm not happy without the billion, and I'm expecting the billion to make me happy, it would be happy for that moment, but I would go back to base level. So any amount of money that you gave me now would make me happy because I'm happy. But it's not the money that's making me happy. And I really believe that. I know I didn't believe that when I was younger. And I'd say my 40s onwards, I really, like, if you're not doing something that you want to do, if you haven't worked on yourself, if you're triggered by everyone else, then no amount of money will fill that hole. Because there will always be someone that's got more money, or you'll lose some of that money, or because you don't know, if someone just gives you money and you don't know how to actually leverage it effectively, it will bring way more bad, because people will try and take advantage of you, or you go and, you know,
you make spend bad investments.
Yeah, and you just, it's so easy. Like, that's what happened to me when I was younger. I was making really good money and I was investing into different business, and I had no idea, and I got taken advantage of left, right and center, and it became it became like an ongoing, like, okay, I'm earning money but I'm losing it all the time. And
is there a difference if you make the money yourself the
massive,
hard way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you go, it's the difference between if you go to the gym versus you just have, you know, like, you have lipo.
Yeah.
That is the direct correlation. Like, you can get your fat sucked out, but unless you counterbalance what you eat, and then unless you continually increase your burn rate, unless you continually adapt your muscle, you won't maintain the amount of calorie expenditure. So it's one you have to earn it, and you have to build it up, and that's what enjoyment is as well. It's not the end outcome. It's like, to a musician, right? I'm just learning the piano. It's like, it's to get to the end of the piece is not the point. It's to learn the piece and to appreciate the piece, and then to be able to play the piece. And yes, so 100% you have to earn it.
Best advice you ever remember receiving?
I mean, I've heard this in different contexts, and sometimes you hear it in many different ways, and I can't really remember the first time I've ever heard it. I think it was originally kind of like in Man's Search for Meaning, but the concept of, like, focus, meaning and action, it's really simple, but what you focus on and the meaning that you give to it defines how you believe in the next thing. So you can focus on all the good things, they mean this, and then your action is that. You can focus on all the bad things. And I think it's such a simple lesson, but I don't think people intuitively get it. Like, okay, I can focus on the positives. Like, that's not new. Like, everyone's like, oh yeah, focus on the positive. Yeah, fuck off. That's boring. Fuck you. But yet they don't live their life like that. And they I think it's the human brain is so quick to focus on the negative. So that, again, like, if you understand that concept, then everyone else is just from their own view. It's reality is completely subjective towards their perception of that reality. Mm. So if someone's a dick, that's their view of that person is that. And just to be aware that that's their view, so that that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that view, but don't let that also cloud your view of who that person is. No different to when you said Andrew Tate. You know, I bet you've met him
a
couple of times.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure he's a very, you know, persuasive, charismatic, lovely guy. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, he's very different to what all the people who haven't met him say.
For sure. And it's just, you know, like, how many of us could be taken apart on just one thing that we say? Mm. And
I think this show has actually re-taught me that. Because I interview people that are often unpopular to a great amount of people, and I am fascinated to listen to their story, and I hear all the stuff that the pissed off people say.
Yeah.
I actually think the ability to suspend your own judgment and to give a human the chance to give you their own information, i.e. get to know them personally, suspending your own judgment. I think that's a powerful thing to be able to do that most people can't do, because they've already made up their mind of what an asshole this person is, and they've never even met them, and they've seen a 10-second TikTok.
Yeah. I think judgment is it just shuts down every door to opportunity to actually experiencing a connection. And you know, it shuts down happiness. If you spend the majority of the time judging others or judging anyone, you're locking out a deep happiness that can be achieved. You know, and again, it goes back in, and it's a simple lesson. It's like what you focus on and the meaning that you choose is so simple. Like, we choose our meanings, but then people they're not available to listen to other people's meanings, or they don't realize that they're stuck in their own meaning. And I think if you can really stand back and view that you could be stuck in a view of what that is, that's super powerful.
And flip side, what's the worst advice you remember receiving?
Grant Cardone once just said, all ads work. So you should just pump, you know, you should just pump, you know, huge amounts of money, as much as you've got, into an ad. And I was like, I'm for the ad, Grant, but like, there needs to be a specific process. And again, it depends on how much money you have.
Well, and any advice with all or never at the start, that should be the red flag, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I love Grant, don't get me wrong, but it's a prime example of, you know, like, where the majority are going to hear something and think that that's what they need to do. Mm. Again, like, on every social media channel, like, in today's world, it's like, that doesn't make any sense because there's so many things that you've got to do. It's like, it's an equivalent of, like, what camera should I use? Buy everyone. You should buy every camera. And if you don't have every camera, you're missing out.
You're a loser.
Yeah. We're just like, you're not going to make it in the world.
What's your biggest regret? And you're not allowed to say. I don't.
God, then we could be here a while. I can always find something, but I don't sit there and I genuinely, because I started so many businesses that failed. So I could say that, right? But they did, you know, like, because I'm through them, they really did enable me to become a much better business person. Without them, I wouldn't.
Are still allowed to regret something.
You know, I lost a lot of money then. And so therefore, that's up there, making bad decisions and doing businesses that were not the right fit for me, but I didn't know any better. You know, once I regretted massively for many years. I didn't get the right help at the right time, and I knew I should. I just didn't want to pay for it, and because I didn't pay for it, I ended up losing a lot more because I didn't pay like the $4,500-$5,000 for a legal fee, and I ended up losing probably $500,000. And that was such a bad business, such a bad business mistake. Mm. So yeah, of course I regret them.
We'll take that one. Yeah, that's all right. We'll take that one.
There's lots of those for sure.
Okay. What's the most brutal life lesson you've ever had?
Brutal life lesson. I think it's quite cliche, but like we're not here forever, and I think when someone dies, that's very shocking, right? That's very quick. It does, you know, it puts a different perspective on your life. Mm. And so over the years, I've known lots of people that have like either committed suicide or been connected to, you know, stories of that sort of thing, helping people specifically with depression, etc. And so, you know, like, I remember like, I'm always into helping people and I've always got time for that. And I remember when I was younger once, I used to go to this gym and I'd see this guy there and I'd talk to him. And I remember once I'd had a really bad day of rejection and I didn't want to go and speak to him because I was like, I'm in my own feelings, right? I don't know if I can handle your feelings today. And then I never forget, when I went back 2 weeks later, he'd gone back home that day and shot himself. And I thought, like, I could tell something wasn't quite right. And I didn't go and speak to him. And so from that day forth, and I never, if I see someone that I think, regardless if they're in it, you know, like how I feel, I'll always just check if they're okay. I live in the centre of London, and that's, even if, like, I did one the other day and I passed someone and they looked like they're having a tough time and they were like, fuck off. And I was like, sure, no problem. I shall fuck off. Because not everyone wants that, right? So that's fine, but at least I've checked. And so I think if we just check, and of course you can't do that all the time. There's lots of people that are sleeping rough. That's why I worked for St. Mungo Broadway for 6 years to try to help the homeless improve their capacity to take more people on. Mm. But I think, yeah, just checking. Mm.
This show is called Disruptors.
Woo!
What does disruptive mean to you?
Disruptive, doing something different, being open to not following the norm, thinking outside, like, cliche again, but thinking outside the box. If, like, I remember, like, Tony Robbins, for example, he was, when he was doing his infomercial commercials, everyone was like hating down on him because they thought that was cheesy. But at that time, that's what really broke him, right? And so I always think, how do you, when you look at someone that's been super successful, they're you can always unpick something that they've done that's cool, and then what would Tony do now? And so when we started running ads, it was out of our awareness and out of our comfort zone. And in today's market, I think that's what you've got to look at. You've got to look at, how can you be different? How can you do like something that's not the usual path?
And where can people follow you? Where should they first and most go? Ed J.C. Smith.
They can come and check out the socials under Ed J.C. Smith. But if you want to come and join freeexpertcoach.com, you can get certified and become a coach completely for free. And so, as I said, we do...
freeexpertcoach.com.
That's the one. Yeah. And, you know, there's no catch. I'm not here to sell you something else. If you want to enjoy that, that's great. All I ask is, if you do enjoy it, just share it with your friends. It's an amazing community of there's thousands of them now that, you know, again, like, supporting each other, helping them increase their skill set. And again, like, working, you know, the first person you've got to coach is yourself, and then you can coach other people, and you can make a great income doing it, doing something if you are really passionate about it. That's the thing.
And your two dogs.
Wee.
So this is Belle and Bambi?
Bambi, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Can you get the one for the camera? Will you be able to see that? It's just, if anyone's listening, Ed has a dog
two
in his hoodie. This one.
She's just chilling.
Ed, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Love you, man.
Right back at you.